morning, New Life Church. Good morning. There we go. I just wanted to show the kids the flags. I know we're back after a long break, and it's kind of scary to come up again, but just so you know, they're still here, and worship is so much more than singing. Dancing is a form of worship. Waving flags is a form of worship. Praying, I mean, I can go on and on, but if you don't know all the words, sometimes it's fun to just dance. Right? So feel free to grab a flag and dance. We're going to start this morning with a song that just addresses fear. And I was reading in Proverbs this week that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And it really hit me that there are so many different forms of knowledge coming at us from so many different angles. And there's so much confusion. And I was like, unless we fear God first, none of our knowledge will make like sense of anything. It won't help anything. None of the things we believe, none of the things we trust. The fear of the Lord is the very beginning, and that's where we need to go first for absolutely everything in our life. And if we fear him first, so many other fears will just fall away. So I wanted to sing about that, and we are going to repeat the chorus a few times. I wanted to warn some of you. This is just so we can press in on that chorus, and you can really have this time to think about maybe some of the fears that you might be carrying. So you don't have to sing the whole time, but you can just be like, God, show me what am I fearing that's hindering my relationship with you or hindering my relationship with others. And you'll have that chance to just kind of do that. So yeah, good morning. Please stand. I'm really excited to worship God this morning.
Doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. read to you from Psalm 29 as we enter into worship and really feel pulled in, remind you of why we're doing this, why we're here. Ascribe to the Lord, you heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon leap like a calf, Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord strikes with flashes of lightning. The voice of the Lord shakes the desert. The Lord shakes the desert of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord twists the oaks and strips the forest bare. And in his temple all cry, glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as king forever. The Lord gives strength to his people, and the Lord blesses his people with peace.
Only son, who else invites me?
Thank you for this world that you've given us. Thank you for sending your son. Thank you that we are forgiven, that we can be washed, that we can be righteous, that we can come before you, that we can come to you with our heads held high. I pray, Father, over the rest of this service. I pray over the sermon. I pray over this congregation. I just thank you, God, for everybody who's been here this morning, everybody who can't be here, Father, who's online. I pray, God, blessing over everybody. Father, I pray for health, God, and I pray that you still our fear. I pray that you give peace and calm our hearts in your holy name. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning. Hey, there it is. I thought I was supposed to come up after a video, so I apologize. Hi. So, good morning and welcome to New Life Church. If you are a guest here live with us this morning, we hope that you feel welcome here this morning. We'd love to get connected with you. So in the seat pocket in front of you, there's a connect card. And when we dismiss for a moment our time of fellowship and dismissing the children, then we invite you to bring your connect cards into the offering boxes here. We'd like to get to know you, get connected with you. I'm just going to say hello here to our online folks here. Good morning. If you're with us online this morning, we are glad that you're here. We want to extend the same invitation to you. So there is a way to log in and sign in, and then you can connect with us via the live chat as well. We'd love to get to know you and welcome here this morning. Are we excited that they're here this morning online? Let's give them a big round of applause. That is great. Awesome. So we have some announcements this morning. I did want to just share with you a joke that I heard this month that I thought was really hilarious, and it really made me laugh. So that's kind of awkward, because now I'm putting you in the position you have to laugh, because I thought this joke was really good. But it goes like this. This morning I told my grandmother she drew on her eyebrows too high. She seemed surprised.
I loved that when I saw that. I was like, oh my goodness, it's so good.
All right. So, the video that we were going to watch, I'm not sure if we are going to actually get to see it or not, but the video that we are going to watch reminds us about the power of serving in our community, in our church. Having been a staff member and been through a new startup to a new ministry year, I know how reliant we are on volunteers and people serving to make our ministries happen. That is the lifeblood of church community. And so we have these incredible booths here. I'm not sure if you've had a chance in the last couple of Sundays to visit them and see how you can serve, but we invite you to do that in a moment when we have a time of fellowship to visit and make connections with ministry leaders to see how you can serve. This week, we've added a sign-up for you to participate in a refugee support team. The missions team is inviting you to help welcome a refugee family from the Congo, and there are many capacities for you to serve on this team. That's very exciting, and we're excited to see what God is up to in this season. If you are wondering, or your spirit is moving, or if you feel that the Holy Spirit is tapping you on the shoulder saying this ministry might be for you, those are the promptings that the Lord gives us as we're asking to grow in our faith. Those are the promptings that the Lord gives us, and maybe there's an opportunity for you today to take a step into that prompting, and that step might be having a conversation with one of the staff members or the ministry leaders of one of the ministries that go on here at New Life Church. New Life Connects is happening in the Sundays of October, October 17th, the 24th, and the 31st. These are casual classes with Pastor Nathan for those who are interested in profession of faith, baptism, or membership, or if you're interested in just learning more about the community of New Life Church, please reach out to the office and we can register you for those classes. I know it's going to be hard to believe, but Thanksgiving Day is around the corner. It is on October the 11th, Monday, October the 11th, and we're able to gather this year for our Thanksgiving service, which is just an absolute blessing. And again, we're going to gather under the theme of nourish and be nourished, and we focused on that last year as well. So this is going to be a special celebration as we get to be together, but we invite you to gather here three Mondays from this Monday with gifts of food for the Abbotsford Food Bank. So we do that every year on the Thanksgiving Monday. We bring items of food that we can donate to the food bank, and then we're going to worship and give thanks and have breakfast together on Thanksgiving Monday. So here's a special note. And because of the difference in the service, we are not gathering at 10 a.m., which is traditional for our services, but we're gathering at 9 a.m. on Thanksgiving morning. So Thanksgiving morning, 9 a.m. That's going to be really difficult because some of you have just, like, it's 10 a.m. all the time at New Life. It's even harder for those who believe church starts at 10 after 10. Oh, he said that. Shots fired. Okay, so yeah, for those, you just have to just, like, move it to 10 after 9, I suppose, on Thanksgiving Monday. So Thanksgiving Monday, 9 a.m. here, we get to enjoy breakfast together, worship together, and offer our gifts to the Abbotsford Food Bank as well. This morning, we're going to take our offering, and our offering at the end of the month, the last Sunday of every month, is in support of our New Life missionaries. So here are our missionaries. They're Fred Fictory, who is serving in the Middle East. Eve Pohl, the founding director of Hope for Cora, serves the community of Cora in Ethiopia. Jonathan and Janice Barnhorn in Nigeria with Resonate Global Mission and Wycliffe Bible Translators. And Fernando Trevino in Colombia, working through Brand New Life Ministries, a ministry for youth in Bogota. And so our offerings this morning will go to support those missionaries. If you wish, there are different ways to give this morning. You can see that on the screen behind me, and you'll see that on the screen online. And then also during our fellowship time, you can bring your offerings here to the boxes that are here on my right and my left. Let's pray for the offering together this morning and for our service this morning. Lord, I thank you. Just the blessing it is to have been able to gather in your house as a community, to lift up praises to you, because you are worthy. As we spent time in the Psalms this morning, we see your power, your faithfulness, your goodness. And Lord, as a community, we lift up our voices to worship you. This morning, we thank you for the opportunity to steward our gifts, to give as you have given to us. And so we ask, Lord, that you would multiply this offering that is taken this morning. We think today of our missionaries who are serving locally, regionally, and globally, who have answered your call to these various contexts. Lord, we pray that today they would experience in some unique way the fruit of the ministry that is coming through their calling. I pray, Lord, that you would just bless them and their families. May they experience deep rest today, and may they experience your goodness, your faithfulness in ministry. We thank you, Lord, for a community with programs, children's ministry, men's and women's ministries. We thank you, Lord, that all of those are starting now. But Lord, we have a need for volunteers, and I pray, Lord, that you would just continue to prompt with your Holy Spirit people to step into various roles in these ministries. Lord, help us to see that this is not just serving others, but Lord, you transform us through the posture of service. And I thank you for those realities that we are invited into. So I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would continue to do your work and bringing leaders forward. Lord, our world is struggling in the grip of COVID. There are many who are sick, dying, who are suffering from long-term effects of COVID. We pray, Lord, for healing. We pray for comfort. Your arms to wrap around those who are mourning. There are others, Lord, that we know and love who are in long-term care and struggling with health. I pray, Lord, for peace, for comfort, for healing. Lord, we are at a time in this world where there is division over almost everything imaginable. And in these moments, in this context, Lord, help this space to be a haven of unity and love for one another. Help us to see how we are each responsible for that, Lord, rather than putting the sole responsibility on others, government, at various levels. Lord, help us to see how we are called to love one another beyond these barriers that have been presented to us. Lord, you are good. You are faithful. We thank you, Lord, that you call us into covenant community. And I pray, Lord, that we would remind one another of what that means when things are difficult. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. You are faithful. You are awesome. In your name we pray. And together everyone said, amen. So kids, in a moment I'm going to say a word. That word is G-O. If you can spell that, that word spells go. But not yet. I just said it, but that's not when I want you to actually do what that word means. But I need you to listen very carefully because we haven't done this for a while. So it's important that we follow the instructions here. Kids are going to be dismissed for Kids Church and Sprouts in just a moment when I say that magical word. For Sprouts, those are children aged 3 to 5. They will exit through those doors here to my left. And for Kids Church kids, those are kids from grade 1 to grade 5. You will be dismissed through these doors here on my right. If you are new or visiting and unsure of where to bring your children, there will be a Kids Church attendant there at that door, and they will show you how to register your child and where to pick up your child at the end of the service. If you did not check in your child, they will lead you to one of the kiosks where you sign your children in, and children in nursery and in story or in Sprouts, they do manual check-in, so you may have to go down with your child to where they need to go as well. Okay, so now we have 5 minutes. The clock will be up here for a time of fellowship. Connect with one another. Visit these ministry booths. You may bring your offerings to the front, and you may also dismiss your kids. Are you ready? Go.
The king of my heart, be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from, always my song. And let the king of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life, always my song. Yes, you are good. Oh, you are good. You're good. Be the fire inside my veins, the echo
Right. Well, good morning again, and welcome again. It's good to be together. So glad you're here. And for those of you online, thank you also for being with us, and pray that our time continues to be our worship to God. What a privilege to worship together. We're in a series called Rise Up. And it's a series of messages that have to do with endurance, with resilience, with going through some difficult stuff and saying, but we will press on. Because the fact is, life is hard. Life is hard. And sometimes we simply need just some encouragement to press through. Sometimes a lot of encouragement, perhaps. But sometimes also, I think, when times are hard, there's sometimes the tendency to withdraw and simply say it's too much. And then, quite frankly, maybe we fall into even some complacency, and then we just need, a kick in the pants or something. But in either case, the gift of life, because that's, we have to realize, life is a gift. God gifts it to us and places us in a context to say, do something with this. purpose. Do something with life. And so that gift of life requires of us to press on through good times, through bad times, through easy stuff, and through difficult stuff. Now, this series, Rise Up, comes out of a phrase that occurs over and over and over again, especially in the Old Testament, but throughout the Bible, this call from God to rise up out of whatever it is, discouragement or complacency or fear or just ignorance. God calls us to rise up. And I mentioned earlier that I was surprised how many times in the Old Testament that occurs. One prominent text where that occurs is in Isaiah chapter 60. And maybe these words are familiar to you. Listen, this is Isaiah chapter 60, just the first few verses. Arise, there's the word. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, thick darkness is over the peoples, but the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, kings to the brightness of your dawn. And the chapter goes on to describe this amazing vision of light rising up out of the darkness, overwhelming the darkness. So first, I want to tell you a little bit about this chapter, because perhaps we ought to, I would encourage you to go home and read the entire chapter. It's a little bit convoluted and so on, but it's a spectacular chapter of a vision that Isaiah has. A vision of the holy city, a holy city that's perfected, completely renewed, a holy city in which everything from the whole world comes into. It's a spectacular vision. A vision back in the middle of the Old Testament, a parallel vision occurs then at the end of the Bible in Revelation chapter 21. We have a vision that's a lot the same as what's spoken of in Isaiah chapter 60. The Bible ends with that holy city. A gathering of people and structures and infrastructures that is perfected, that is entirely pure, that is entirely devoted to God. And this call to arise, shine, for your light has come, occurs during a very hard time in the life of God's people, Israel. Israel is divided and it is in decline. The northern part of Israel has been subdued and captured by a world power, Assyria. And Assyria has taken these people. They've robbed them of all of their possessions, taken their homes, and shipped the people off to Assyria and said, you live here under our control for a while. That was very hard. That's a difficult time for people who by their very DNA, think in terms of the special chosen people of God. And now it's as if they're simply tossed aside, of no use to anyone. And then the southern part of the nation, Judah, is threatened by another world power coming up, Babylon, the great evil empire as it is characterized throughout Scripture. And the resulting sentiment, you can well imagine, of this time in history for the people of God is just kind of a sense of, what's the use? There's no purpose in this. There's no direction. There's no good ending. This is the best it'll be. So the prophet's addressing the people's sin and their disobedience, and they're feeling guilt and they're feeling shame at their own failure to bring about success. and they're frustrated and they feel caged in and they just don't know what to do with themselves. But the prophet's also addressing people overtaken by superpowers, world powers. And these powers are redefining how they will live. They're telling these people, well, you may have had it great before, but this is how you're going to live, under our control, under our thumb, under our rule. This is the way it's going to be. And the people are simply powerless to object. And in that context, we get this message: arise. Don't give in. Don't mope. Don't be afraid. Don't give up. Rise up and be a light. In other words, the telling of this vision here in Isaiah 60 isn't just something afar off. It's strength for today. Strength for today, for the here and now, albeit a vision of the future. Here's what I mean. I suspect you, as well as I, feel a certain weakness these days that makes it hard to press forward in a lot of ways. Weakness because of the hampered restrictions that are placed upon us, the complete change in which we used to do it this way and you can't anymore. Not only that, but hampered also by a sense of loss of control. We used to be able to do whatever we want. Now we've got people telling us what to do and what not to do. Hampered also by fear, which is what we addressed early in the worship set. Let's face it. A lot of us are simply scared. Scared of what tomorrow brings and next year. Is it going to go back to the way it was? Are we going to have the good life? Or what's the misery going to look like? And so the theme of rise up doesn't come easy. These words aren't spoken flippantly. As once perhaps we may have thought it was easy to simply rise up, get things done, and do what we need to do just because, well, we've got the resources, we've got everything available to us, and we can just do whatever we want. And that's simply not true anymore. Imagine for the people of God, it didn't come easy to hear these words. Arise, shine. Yeah, right. In the midst of darkness, my little light's not going to shine. But this picture of a holy city in the future is strength for the here and now. And here's why. Frankly and simply, because what you do now, what you and I are involved in our daily activities, in our work, in our play, what we're involved in our homes, what we're involved in at church, what we're involved in elsewhere, all of it contributes to the shape of the holy city in the end. Now, perhaps we don't often think that, but that's what Isaiah is reminding us of. That as you live out your daily lives right now, that has an impact on the holy city in the end of time. God planted us in this creation, but uniquely as human beings in God's image, we're called to be active in that creation. So often we think that God created and then he was done his project. He tossed us into that creation and said, have at her. And that's just not the right picture. It's certainly not the picture that Isaiah is giving here when he speaks of a holy city in which all the nations of the world enter into it and all the stuff of the world enters into it. All of the infrastructure that human beings created out of what God has created enters into that holy city. What you do now contributes to that end vision of the holy city. What you do now matters to the project that God is involved in. Of course, sin has messed a lot of things up. And our wrongdoing makes a chaos of a lot that is meant to be in order. So, for example, instead of tending creation, caring for it, we exploit it, grab as much as we can for ourselves, for our own satisfaction. Or instead of developing the world, we simply live to be amused by whatever it can offer us. And then we sit back and say, "Oh, I had a good life," or, "Oh, life sucks." But what Isaiah is telling you and I this morning, in the words, "Arise, shine, for your light has come," what he's telling you and me is that God hasn't given up on his project. He continues to create, and he continues to commission us to create out of what he's given us to develop the world, to develop all that is around you, whether it's your family or whether it's at your work or whether it's in your recreation, all of it contributes to this vision of the holy city, of what God will complete in the end of time. So the picture of a holy city is a reminder that we're in the middle of a project, come what may. And maybe things go our way, and maybe things don't go our way, but we're in the middle of a God's project. And what you do matters in that project. Here's sort of what I mean, although these are perhaps highlighted examples, and I mean, your life, my life don't have to take this shape, but here's some of the things that I've come across that I think illustrate the fact that the things we do as human beings contribute to the holy city. So a couple of years ago, my wife was fulfilling a contract down in Arkansas, working at a university down in Arkansas, helping them out there. And I went down to visit her. And so while she was working, I could play. And so I went exploring, thinking, what's down in Arkansas? So I looked up, you know, tourist sites and so on, and there was this thing called Anthony Chapel. I thought, well, I'm a pastor. I'm into churches and chapels and stuff. I want to check this out. So I drove to the place where it was said, and it was a forest and a beautiful park-like setting and so on. And I was like, what? What is going on here? And as I walked through the forest, this is what I found. This is Anthony Chapel down in Arkansas, property of University of Arkansas. And it is made of essentially posts and glass. And it fits right into the forest. It's as if the trees gathered themselves together into a structure that people could enter into. And it illustrates the sense that it's not just that God created something beautiful and then we as humans, you know, we make stuff, but it gets in the way of creation. No, there's this beautiful blending of what God has created and what we're making to develop the world. Another example is Lionsgate Bridge out in Vancouver, right? You see how the curve of the bridge follows the summit of the mountain, of the hillside? Now, I realize, of course, it depends on your camera angle. But nevertheless, it fits. It's not just a matter of, you know, God's got his creation on one side, we're messing around on the other side, and there's constant... No, we're part of God's project. God is putting together a holy city in this world. And what we do matters to God making that project. One less spectacular example, I just love this one, is a house. It'd be cool to say, this is my house. but it's not. This was designed by Frank Lloyd Wright. Frank Lloyd Wright was an architect in the 30s and 40s out of Chicago, and he paid a lot of attention to the houses that he designed and how they fit into the context of where the house was going to be built. And this is one obvious, spectacular example of that, how the house is built into the waterfall, and recognizing the slabs of stone, and so he recreates that in his own construction and so on. This is an illustration of how what we do matters to how all of creation will be developed as God is at work designing his holy city. Now, it doesn't always work out beautifully and perfectly, and sometimes we mess things up, and sometimes we disobediently design things that aren't going to be a part of the holy city. And so God is continually at work redeeming and renewing the work that we do. But that's the encouragement we need to press on. Even when things are confusing, even when things are challenging, even when things are all chaotic. But God is at work in the midst of our work. Strength for today. Let's press on together. Because God is at work designing and completing the holy city, which one day we will enter and marvel and say, oh, there's that piece that I worked on. Hey, it's part of the holy city. Let that be encouragement, strength for today. But this vision that Isaiah presents to us in Isaiah chapter 60, this call to arise and shine, is also bright hope for tomorrow. And in two senses, it's a twofold kind of thing, this bright hope. It's not just a mere wish that, well, you know what, it's going to out-survive me, so no use. No, this hope for tomorrow is a hope of God completing the project, and that's what ought to spur us on. This isn't something that we have to get done. But as we participate in God's project, as we contribute to it, the assurance Isaiah places before us is that it will be completed. It will come to fruition, this holy city. Kings of the earth, kings, people, powerful people who think they've got it all together, who think they've got it all, they're going to have to submit to this holy city. God will make sure of that. That's our assurance to press on. The direction of creation has always been towards God completing the holy city. That's why at the beginning of the Bible we have the Garden of Eden. And then all of the circumstances of the Bible, the whole redemptive history, all of God's action, all of his mighty deeds to save people, to save creation, results in, at the end, in Revelation 21, a marvelous picture of the completed project, the holy city. Look it up, Revelation 21. It's a garden city. It's not a matter of the two forever separate. It's that God's going to bring it together. And our work in creation is part of that project of God building a garden city. It's the purpose for which we're made. And God will fulfill that purpose. He'll complete it. That's the point of the book of Revelation at the end of the Bible, that God will complete it. That's the point that Isaiah is making. Don't lose sight of that hope. Don't lose sight of that vision. Because God's going to complete it. But also this vision is the hope of God redeeming all that we do that wrecks the project. So that we don't have to resign ourselves to saying, well, you know what, I'm constantly messing it up anyway, so I might as well just give up and just take what comes. No. No, this vision of the holy city and us contributing into it means that when God completes it, that whatever brokenness is as a result of our activity is renewed, repaired, and redeemed by God. Because he's going to finish his project. See, it is easy, as I admitted earlier, to get scared and to live in fear. We get anxious, we grow weary. The fact is, evil is in the world. Corrupt people do have a lot of power in this world. And what we do in life is always tainted by sin. And so we get suspicious of people who are in control or who are in power. Governments are suspect. Institutions are challenged, perhaps not even respected. The church being among them, oftentimes we don't recognize it as the body of Christ. We just see it as another institution. Where will it lead us? Will it lead us down the path of saying, ah, what's the use anyways? Or does it lead us with that vision to say, I'm going to rise up. I'm going to stay involved. I'm going to stay in action because I'm working alongside of my Father in heaven, who's got this marvelous plan, and he will complete it. And so God calls us this morning to arise. Be a light. Not of your own strength, of course, but because the light has come upon you, and therefore you can shine. It's the message of God's project. Good news, the gospel message. The wealth of nations, Isaiah says, is gathered into the city. Kings of the earth march into the city. People from all nations are drawn to the city. Light pervades the city, and all of it will be redeemed by the power and the glory of our great God. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is upon you. Let's pray together. As I pray, I want to invite you. I want to invite you to come to the front. Everybody needs this, so don't worry about, oh, I'm going to be the only one or whatever. I invite you to come to the front. Just kneel on the step or stand as you're able to. And I want this prayer to be for you. Maybe you came to church tonight, this morning feeling defeated. Or maybe you came to church just anxious, not knowing what to think. Maybe you're approaching this coming week and you're wondering what it's going to look like. You have maybe decisions to make, or perhaps maybe your life is taking turns and you don't know which way to turn. And you need the blessing of God to have the strength and the courage to rise up. To rise up and to cast your eyes high enough to see this vision of the holy city that God is building, and he's using you, no matter what capacity. Maybe you're just in school and you're thinking, well, there's no contribution I can make, but you do. However small, with whatever you do. Maybe you're newly retired and you're thinking, well, I'm done working. But what you do tomorrow contributes to the kingdom of God. And you need the blessing of strength and courage to press on. So I invite you to come to the front. Receive this prayer of blessing. Almighty God, I pray that you will make clear that vision of the holy city, what you're working on. And in the midst of all the stuff in our lives that is going on, stuff, God, that confuses us, stuff that perplexes us, stuff that confounds us, stuff that makes us angry, stuff that frustrates us, God, we surrender it to you. We lift it to you, Father, and we pray. We pray for the strength, the courage, the blessing to rise up. And to let our light shine, because your light has come upon us. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit blesses each person here. Spirit of God, fall upon us. Be gracious to us. Show us your mercy. Gather us in your love. And empower us, Father, to be that light, to be that courage, to be that people that declares your praise, that declares your glory, that declares that you are at work, Father. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus, who has completed that work, who cried out from the cross that instrument of tremendous suffering and hardship, of scorn, who cried out and said, "It is finished." And so, God, we rejoice in the good news that your kingdom is coming, that it has come, and that one day, in the end, the holy city will rise up. And all people will bow to Jesus, the Lord of all creation. And so equip us for that work, God, of declaring your work. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're going to sing together that song, "I Surrender All."
All to Jesus.
We surrender all to him.
Freely give. To him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily. Oh.
People of God, arise, shine. Let your light shine this week, because God arises upon you. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Go in His grace, in His strength, and in His peace. Amen. Amen.